So we're continuing the melach of memachek. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Mem Aleph Amud Beis says, "Ein megardin mina lo chadash velo yashan." So you can't scrape the mud off of a shoe, and this is true, though it's discussed in the Gemara. But we conclude whether this is an old shoe or a new shoe. Now, what is wrong with this? If you actually look at the Rambam, Chaf Aleph Yod Ches, it sounds maybe like it's an issue of kibbutz or tikkun mana or something. But we follow the view of Rashi. Rashi over here on Amud Aleph says that the problem is mipnei shekolef haor vehave le mimachek. So the problem is mimachek on the leather. When you scrape off the mud, so you will be doing mimachek on the leather. And this is the leather of the shoe. This is Paskin in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Shin Beis Sif Ches. And what's important to note is it seems like this is usher, even though the leather is already presumably smooth. In other words, I'm wearing a pair of shoes now. And my shoes might be made out of leather, but they're not bumpy. It's not like, we know Mimachik is about smoothing the leather. But this restriction seems to apply even if the leather is already smoothed out. It's already been made into a shoe. The process of preparing the leather seems to have been completed. And nevertheless, we're still concerned about memachek. And again, over here, it doesn't sound like you're being mechaven lemachko. As we noted last time, you're just simply intending to clean your shoe from the mud. Nevertheless, it's aser. Because presumably it's a psik resha of memachek. And if you take a look at some of the Rishonim, the Piskei Rid, the Rimei Lunil, it sounds like even the Nisr Deoraisa. The Mishnah Berurah discusses this in Simen Shin Beis, Sif Katan Chaf Vav. And he asks the Shaila, he says, in Sif Vav, the Shulchan Aruch Paskin, that if you have mud on the shoe, Mekancho Bekosel. And yet in Sif Ches, we say it's usur to do. So what's the difference? Why is it sometimes mutter to clean your shoe from the mud and sometimes usur? And the Mishnah Berurah answers, his first answer is, well, it depends what we're talking about. If you just rub your shoe on the wall to clean off the mud, then there's no problem of memachek. But if you use a knife, which is sharp, then it's usur alt memachek. And then he says, therefore, Lefiza, Hadiesh Bechatzar Shalifne Pisre Bate Knesios Alakarka Barzel Echad Vehuchad Lemala Visham Mekanchen Esamin Alayim Kodem Shikanes Bebes HaKnesses. Aser Lasos Ken Beshabis de Zedome Legav Hasakin Vaser Lekuli Alma. So therefore, they have these sharp things outside the shul that are used to scrape off people's shoes before entering the shul. I sent you in the WhatsApp group a picture of a modern version of that. They sell these things all over the place on the internet. Now, the Mishnah Berurah writes, if it's sharp, I would certainly be usher. People have these when their shoes are muddy or snowy, especially. People put them out when it's snowing outside. They don't want to track snow into the house. They put out these, you know, we're not talking about a mat that's, you know, like a carpet mat. Obviously, that's not an issue. But they have these scrapers on them some of the time, like in the picture that I sent you. This is usur. Now, the Mishnah Berurah first says, it's only been the usur if they're sharp. But then he continues, V'amagen Avram, machmir afilu haya barzel av, v'rachav v'rosho, v'lo haya lo chud, d'lo gara migav hasakin. It's not just if it's sharp. Even if the metal shoe scraper is dull and a little bit wide, it's still usur because it's like a gav hasakin and it's usur. And it seems like we accept this Magen Avraham, and therefore the wall is okay. A sharp scraper, certainly usur, and even a dull scraper is usur, according to the Magen Avraham. Now, the concern, as I said, is a little bit surprising because we're dealing here with soles of shoes, which are already hard leather. And I would have expected that they would not be affected if they're scraped, at least unless it's very sharp, right? If you think about the soles of our shoes, and let's, if you, a lot of people don't have leather soles anymore, but if you think of leather soles, they're very hard. It's a little surprising that this would have an effect on them, but that seems to be the concern. That seems to be the concern. So again, even though you're only machaven to remove the mud or the snow or whatever it is, unless you say the Gemara's prohibition is only talking about the upper part of the shoe, which has a softer leather, but it doesn't sound that way. It sounds like we're concerned even with the hard sole. Now, as I said, the issue is that with our shoes, there doesn't seem to be any tikkun on the shoe at all when the shoe is scraped. Again, think of your own Shabbos shoes, which might have leather soles, and you went ahead and you wiped your feet on one of those types of scrapers. Would there be any tikkun? So again, I'm not an expert. I wouldn't think there would be any. So I saw that the Or LeZion, which is quoted in Dir Shoe Note 32, makes this point. And he more or less says that this halacha is not relevant anymore because there's no tikkun to our shoes. However, that same footnote notes that Rishlomo Zalman is machmir, and he thinks that these would be usher nowadays. So I think, according to Rishlomo Zalman, that type of shoe scraper that I sent you a picture of would probably be usher. Now, I would have thought this halacha is relevant maybe for leather soles, but let's say you have plastic soles, rubber soles. I know that my shoes, I like are mostly rubber soles. So I would have thought that that is not relevant anymore. However, the Dir Shoe Note quotes that Rishlomo Zalman is even machmir for rubber soles. Now, I didn't understand what that means. What exactly are you being misakein? I mean, if the bottom of your soles is bumpy and you're smoothing them out, maybe. And you don't want that to happen, but saying that's going to be a psik resha. Again, I think it's very clear that the mimachik over here is not because you're getting the dirt off the shoes. That's no problem. That's not mimachik, just like you're allowed to wash dishes. And that's why you're allowed to rub your shoes on the wall, even though that gets off the dirt. Okay, Aaron is bringing up the topic of tochein. We discussed this in whether yesh tochein achar tochein or not. But yes, it could be that, according to, I think it was Rabbeinu Peretz, that there would be an issue of tochein if the mud is dried out. But that's not our current concern. Our current concern here is memachek. And I don't know, I didn't really understand what memachek there is on rubber soles, certainly, when you rub them off. Again, maybe you are smoothing it out to some degree. And I guess he says, I don't know, maybe it's a psik resha dol nichalei. You know, I'm not sure. Lemaisa, the Mishnah Berurah, though, is lenient if you're mekaneach benachas, ubefrat im hatit lach. So if you do it slowly, gently, it's going to be mutter. So for most floor mats, you know, it's not an issue at all. They're not metal scrapers on most floor mats. Most floor mats typically are made out of, some type of, like it's a carpet or fabric or something rough, but it's not metal. But as I said, you do occasionally see these types of scrape floor mats with scrapers on them. And it sounds like, according to some poskim, it would be usher nowadays. Though again, the position of the Or LeZion seemed to be very compelling to me, certainly with respect to rubber shoes, but even with respect to leather shoes, it's hard for me to imagine that there's any tikkun at all on the leather, any effect at all on the leather with these things. It's simply, it's rubbing off the snow or the mud. Again, maybe their soles were different than ours. But again, Shlomo Zalman and others are machmir even nowadays. Now, Rav Avadia learns a very important halacha from this Gemara, which is that you see from here that there's a concern of memachik, even though you're not mechavein lezeh. Right? Over here, your whole concern is to remove the dirt from the bottom of your shoes. And yet we say it's aser because of memachik. And that's going to be relevant for our next discussion when we talk about soap. Even if your goal, your concern, your interest isn't memachik, if you do it, it's still aser. So for Avadia, for example, says, let's say you have sabon shiesh lo gav shushis, a soap, hard soap that is bumpy, and then when you use it on Shabbos, you smooth it out, that would be a problem of memachik. Yeah, you're not mechavein lemachko. Your intention is simply to wash your hands, to soap up your hands. Nevertheless, if you are being memachik, this soap, the hard soap, the bar of soap, it would be aser. Now, I don't think we really have that type of soap nowadays anyway, because our hard soaps generally start off smooth. When you use them, you might reduce their size. You take off a layer. They get smaller each time you use them, slightly. But you're not really smoothing them out. Usually, they start off smooth. And I don't. There is actually a type of abrasive soap that people have to get off like tough things. But there too, you're not smoothing out the abrasiveness because it's abrasive all the way through. So I think typically that example wouldn't be so shaykh nowadays. Maybe Aaron's going to tell me otherwise. But if you did have a situation where you had a lumpy soap and then you use that soap, that bar of soap, and you smooth it out, while you're just intending to wash your hands, that would be a problem with memachik, as we see from this Gemara. Yes, Aaron.
The first two uses of soap is like it's too sharp, but it becomes very smooth after two uses. So it could be that.
I've never encountered sharp soap before.
No. As an experienced bar soap user, it's not sharp. It's just not smooth the first two times you use it. Uh-huh. But after two times, it's broken in and it's nice and soft. So it could be there's a hook over there.
Soft isn't smooth. I don't know. In my soaps, when I take them out of the box for the first time use, maybe I'm not as experienced as a bar soap user as you. I never noticed any hardness or lack of smoothness.
Smooth. It's not smooth. No?
I don't know.
Rebbe?
Yes.
Is Avadia just saying even b'makom davish enem miskaven, quote unquote? Like, what is he saying more than?
Well, I'll tell you why I bring this up, actually. We're going to get to soap more in detail in just a moment. But I saw that Rabbi Ribiat, unless I misunderstood him, Rabbi Ribiat made the following claim. He, and this is in Ha'ara 20, he writes that if ein daitu l'mareach klal, there's no iser. And I think he's saying, even though it's going to happen inevitably. And the source that he has for this is a Mishnah Berurah, Shin Yod Ches Sif Katan Nun Beis, which is talking about putting the batzek al piya kedera. We talked about this when we did Bishul. Using the dough where it's not muksa, some type of pot cover or something like that. Anyway, it's mutter latuach bo, and says Rabbi Ribiat, that's because you're not mechavein, you're not makbid klal lamarcho, and therefore there's no concern with memareach because you're not mechavein lakach. Now, I don't know what raya he has from there. If you look over there at the Magen Avraham, he says it's aser when it's shayach to be ruach, like shava, if it's something that's like shava, and the taz is only mako, because ein makbid ladabik oso betov. I had sort of thought that the point is that there it's mutter where you avoid mimareach, as opposed to what Rabbi Ribiat is extrapolating from there, is that, I'll give you his lashon, de lo shayach klal tsuras hamalacha de mimachik, Ella kedaito, maybe kedaito lahachle kadaver. So again, I don't think he could prove it from there. And moreover, this halacha that we see from cleaning your shoes from mud seems to be a refutation from upon that position. So I'm not sure. And he, by the way, uses this principle, Rabbi Ribiat likes this principle, uses it to permit a number of things. So I didn't know where he's getting this from. And as I mentioned, Rav Avadia makes the opposite point, which is you could see from the Gemara about scraping the shoes, that there's an Isser even when you're not intending to do so. Before we go, Yossi, I didn't hear you.
Is he coming from the Magen Mishnah?
Which Magen Mishnah?
That everybody brings down that something that doesn't have a Surat HaMalacha. Some things that Pnam is Chavin, like by Binyan. Right.
So we do have that in certain cases, but again, Rav Avadia points out that you see that's not true with respect to Memachik, as we see from the fact that you can't wipe your feet. So that's why I'm not sure where he's coming from. Okay, maybe we should ask him. Rabbi Ribiat teaches my daughter Halacha, so I should could ask him. Usually on every year at the school Shabbaton, I could go and ask him. I got to hang out with him, you know, he's, you know, most of the time he doesn't have much. He's just, you know, he's not so busy on those Shabbatons. I could ask him all the questions I have on this farm. But this year the Shabbaton was canceled, so I have to wait till next year. So it's not so nice to ask people questions on something they wrote like 20 years ago, though. So before we get to the discussion about soap, just a different question first. What about Mimareach Ba'ochlin? So the Mordechai addresses this issue, Simon Shin Samach Beis, and he writes that this relates to the question of Me'abed, which we discussed last week. So Rav Amar and Ibud Ba'ochlin, Mikan Omer Ha'olam She'osam Trachis, I don't know if anyone knows what it is, shel tapuchim, mutter lachlikam. So you're allowed to smooth out this type of apple dish. Ve'en bohem misham memachek, she'en ibud ba'ochlin. So just like there's no ibud ba'ochlin, so too there's no memachek ba'ochlin. These are similar melachos, they relate to the preparation of leather, and therefore, just like ochel is excluded from me'abed, it should be excluded from memachek. That's what he says. But then he says, even though there's certainly no Isser de'oraisa, he continues, Mikol makom, yesh lahatir mishum de'ne'achalos kemo shehen belo chalika. Sorry, I skipped a little. So, but maybe it should be aser midrabanan. Why? Well, just like we had ma'abed midrabanan for food. In other words, remember when we did ma'abed, we saw machlokas rishonim. We paskin, not like the Rashba, that ain ma'abed ba'ochlin, but still, there is an Isser d'Rabbanan of ma'abed ba'ochlin, according to Tosos, not the Rambam. For example, salting your vegetables and the like. So that's also mid-Rabbanan, as we discussed extensively. You can't put salt on radishes or on cucumbers or the like. And that's also mid-Rabbanan. So too, maybe, even though there's no Mimareach by Ochlin Midoraisa, there should be Mimareach Midrabanan by Ochlin. But he says, Mikol makom yesh lahatir mishum d'ne'acholos kemo shehen belo chalika. But you could still smooth out this apple dish because it's delicious even without smoothing it out. Why is it smoothed out? I assume to make it look nicer. But it doesn't really make it edible. It's not preparing, improving it. And therefore, it's mutter. It's not even asr midrabanan. But he concludes, v'machmir tavo alav bracha. Still, if you want a bracha, you should be machmir. So that's what the Mordechai says. So why do we say v'machmir tavo alav bracha? In other words, the reason why it's mutter is because it's not tikkun. Maybe because this argument isn't so clear. For example, even by foods, we pointed out that might be also midrabanan when there's no tikkun, not too much of a tikkun, right? Like sprinkling the salt on the cucumbers. So it's not obvious to be matir based off of this. He thinks it's mutter, but still machmir tavel avracha. And this is paskin by the Rama, Simon Shin Chaf Aleph Sif Yud Tes. Now, the Magen Avraham points out in Sif Katan Chaf Tes, you see from here, that if you couldn't really eat the food without smoothing it out, then it would be aser midrabanan, like we say by Ibud Ba'ochlin. I can't really think of a food that way, something that you make it edible by smoothing it out. But anyway, if you had such a food that became edible through smoothing it out, then it would be an iser d'rabanan to smooth it out on Shabbos. Otherwise, it's a chumrah, machmer tavel av bracha, but it's mutter. Now, a number of poskim point out, and the Mishnah Berurah more or less says this in Sif Katan Pei Beis, that even the machmer tavel av bracha is only when you're smoothing it out to have a smooth surface. But if you're simply smoothing it out to spread the food, then it's okay. For example, you're going to have a peanut butter sandwich. So in that case, you do smooth out the peanut butter, but it's not because you want smooth peanut butter per se. It's because you want the peanut butter to be spread throughout the bread, right? You know, what would people do on Pesach if they couldn't have their matzah and cream cheese, right? So that's okay. That's not even bechlal the tavel of bracha, because the goal of the spreading of the cream cheese is simply because you want cream cheese to be on all of your matzah. So just before I take Aaron's question, it seems like there are three dargos. If you're being misakin the food through smoothing it out, then it's aser medina. Again, I can't think of a practical example of that. If you're smoothing it for appearances, like people do for egg salad or cake frosting or the like, to make it look elegant, so then we would say hamachmir tavalav bracha. And if you're just smoothing it out to spread it evenly, like in a cream cheese sandwich, so then I think it's mutter lechatchila. Yes, Aaron.
This should be the exact same case by the Tosefta with Tochin, with the Zakenim and Latino question, that maybe you could have a case of a tikkun through smoothing. The baby can't have it because it's too chunky, but when you smooth it, so now it's edible.
That's not smoothing. That's tochein. That's why, you know.
No, I'm saying maybe you could think of a case.
Okay. Maybe you could think of such a case. Okay, fine. Perhaps an example would be you have some chunky food, and when you smooth it out, it makes it soft, and now it's edible for the baby. Okay, could be. Fine. Okay, so now let's turn to soap.
Rebbe?
Yes.
I'm sorry, just like what exactly is the Havana of the Mordechai that somehow the fact that I have this klal by Ibud, I should assume the same klal by Machik?
I don't know, but I assume they're very, very similar malachos. They're both steps in the process of preparing the hide, and they're one step right after the other. They're very similar to each other. And so, first of all, if you're going to say Ein Ma'abed Ba'ochlin, there's, for whatever svara, and we talked about the svaras when we did Ma'abed, whatever svara you have for Ein Ma'abed Ba'ochlin, that same svara should apply for Me'machik. Why should there be a difference? So that, I think, is more straightforward. And he thinks likewise. They made an Isser Dirabanan for Ma'abed Ba'ochlin, anything that even that resembles ma'abed, it's just only mutter because it's food. They said that was aser midrabanan. So presumably they would have said the same thing over here.
Could Rebbe explain the difference between spreading the butter or cream cheese to the het of the Mordechai? In other words, the het of the Mordechai is that it doesn't move it. It could eat it otherwise.
No, here, so I think, so again, so it's not obvious. Let's take a look at how the Mishnah Berurah puts it. So if you just, for one moment, open up to the Mishnah Berurah, Simon Shin Chaf Aleph, Sif Katan Pei Beis. Look at it together. So this is going on what the Rama said, the Tavol of Bracha. L'mareach tapuchim mevushalim al halechem v'uadin shuman v'chema b'vaday shari. And I think what he means is it's not even Tavol alav Bracha. It's not even tavo alav bracha. It's bivadai shari. It's mutter l'chatchila. And if you look, who is this from? Kain mashma ba'gal smak uv'magan avram l'ha me'ayin. Okay.
Okay, what's the svara?
So I think the svara is that this isn't even tikkun ochel in any sense. It's simply distributing the food. Meaning to say that the Machmir Tavalov Bracha is said when there's some type of tikkun. It's not tikkun in terms of making the food edible, but it's tikkun in appearance. You are making it look nice. If you put out the egg salad and it's all lumpy and bumpy and the like, so that doesn't look nice. And you're misaking the ochel, at least the appearance of the ochel, by making it nice and smooth. So that's aser. There's a tzad to be machmir there. It somewhat resembles tikkun ochel, which is aser midrabanan. But when you're just distributing the food, so that's not, there's no tikkun at all. It's just simply getting it out.
I guess involved in the figure of Amos Kavin on Maria.
Right. I mean, again, this is not memareach anyway.
I mean, you're spreading.
Oh, you mean derabanan? It's like eno miskaven memareach derabanan. Yeah, it's sort of like, I guess, if you wish, it's sort of like that svara, but only on memareach derabanan, and not even memareach derabanan, because it's only memareach derabanan when you're somehow making it edible, right? In other words, this is a kula on the tavol of bracha. It's not a kula on what's aser. What's aser is when there's a tikkun. Tavol of bracha is when you're smoothing it for elegance, but there's not really a tikkun, like egg salad or tuna fish salad or the like. And what is the... But when it's not even that, it's simply meant to distribute the food evenly. You're not in any way being misaking the ochel. You're just trying to get it to where you want it. But then it's not even tavol of bracha. It's so far from anything aser, then it's mutter l'chatchila.
I'm sorry, but it's still be the sugya of mareach of she'enem skaven, which we know that can be mareach by food. Like if you use food to plug up a barrel, it would be mareach. So it would be
Moving food, right. Okay. Well, emamareach ba'ochlin is when we're talking about food that you're eating, right? You're right. If you use food to plug up a barrel, then there is memareach deraisa. But when you use food, when we're talking about food that you're eating, so then there's no memareach deraisa at all, right? And at most, there's memareach derabanan. Even then, it's only aser midrabanan when you're being misakin the food. So if the food is already perfectly good, you're just smoothing it to look nice. So that's not aser midrabanan. But doesn't resemble the deraisa at all. It's not the rabanan lo asru ki agafna. The rabanan only asered memareach when it's sort of like this or deraisa in the sense that there's a tikkun. Fine. So therefore, it's not aser midrabanan, but still tavol of bracha. Why? Because there's at least a tikkun, not in the taste of the food, but a tikkun in the appearance of the food. Good. But what if it's not even that? It's not a tikkun in the taste, not a tikkun in the appearance. It's just a means of distribution. Then it's so far from the iser, even the iser derabanan, then we don't even say tavol of bracha to be machmir. This is nothing. Okay.
Rabbi, one could also maybe just say that it's a psikresh lo nichale on a chumra, like enough for the chumra is ready.
If you want to say that, you could. That's fine. That's fine. Okay. So now let's turn to soap. So there's another Mordechai, Simon Shin Lamed Ches. He deals with, I think, what's probably soap. He's talking about something made out of chelev or chelev. And he writes like this. Let's read it together. Sachen umefarchesin la'adam. Ha de sach, right, we already mentioned before, you're allowed to do sicha, let's say with oil on a person, it's no problem, assuming there's no rifu issue. Ha de sach, adam haynu dafka b'shamen. So you're allowed to do rub oil into a person. Aval b'chelav b'shamen aser, lasach b'shabes, mishum shenimcha b'avilei nolad v'aser. So this is an issue we talked about earlier in the year, that when we're dealing with chelev, which starts off as a solid of sorts, and you did sicha, and it turns into a liquid of sorts, so that's aser. Aval b'chol, now we'll talk about that in an issue in a minute. Let's just finish reading it. There's really three issues we have to deal with this in this Mordechai. Number one is his position on nolad. Number two is his position on sicha keshtia, which is not a Shabbos issue or Yardei issue, but it's worth noting over here because this is a very important source on that. And number three is how this relates to mimareach, which is most relevant to us since he doesn't seem to be concerned about mimareach. So again, you're taking this chelev, you're rubbing it on your skin. So he says that it's a problem on Shabbos because of nolad, when you've transformed the state of the chelev, and therefore it's aser. Avuchol motor laso chatatin shebiyado v'shebegufo. But if you have blisters on your head or on your body, you're allowed to rub chelev into them. Afilu b'chelev. V'afal pi didarshinan perek Rabbi Akiva perek abone benos kusim desicha kishtia. Aye, but don't we have this principle of sicha kishtia? You're not allowed to drink chelev. You're chayv kares in sicha. So rubbing your chelev into your skin should be kishtia, it should be aser. No, asmachta be'almahu. That concept of sicha kishtia is only an asmachta. Would rabbanan hu, the logazu ala sicha shel tainog. So if you wanted to rub chelev into your skin because it makes you feel good, then maybe it's aser. Aval misham tzara verfua, but if you have blisters, and rubbing the chelev in is going to make you feel better. Lo gazer, they never made that isid rabbanan in this case. Kedaminan perak basud yoma, mi shiyesh lo chatatin birosh. Sach kedarko b'yom kippur. After all, in Hilchos Yom Kippur, when we also say sicha kishtia, we find the very same idea. A person that has, again, I don't know, blisters or something on his head, even though one of the chamesh inuyim on Yom Kippur is sicha, it's still mutter to do sicha on Yom Kippur. I'm not sure what that last line of afilu misham tainug is. We'll get back to that. So again, here we have this issue of nolad, but there doesn't seem to be a concern with mimareach when you're rubbing this chelev on you. And this is paskind in the Ramasim in Shin Chavav Sif Yud. Now, as I said, the first issue is nolad. So the Mordechai Lechora holds like Rabbeinu Baruch in his understanding of Risuk Sheleg, which we talked about earlier in the year. If you remember, the Gemara talks about a prohibition against being Mirasek as a Sheleg, and there's a big machlokes Rishonim why exactly it was Aser. So for example, the Rashi and the Rambam said it's Aser because Gzeira Mishum Schitas Peros. Lechora, according to that view, if ein meraskin es hasheleg is because it's doma to schitas peros, that would not apply to, again, what he seems to more or less be talking about is soap. Soap was commonly made out of chelev. And the Magen Avraham makes this point explicitly, and the Mishnah Berurah also cites it, Sifkat and Lamed. In other words, if, right, the way, that if you say Chazal Asard Risuk Sheleg Ubarad because of Zer Schitas Peros Omdin Lamashkin Shafa Sheleg Ubarad Lameimeim Omdin. The reason why to say that it's Asard to squeeze the water out of the snow is because it's also Lameimeim Omdin. So in some way it resembles squeezing a fruit. Squeezing snow sort of resembles squeezing fruit. Vim Kain Boris Vishar Chelev She'enem Omdin Lamashkin Motel Chatchila. If you take that perspective, then there would be no issue of in terms of the soap over here. But on the other hand, if you look at the issue of of Schita Shela because of Nolad, like the Mordechai does, like the Rabbeinu Baruch does. So then you can understand why this would be usher over here as well, insofar as you're changing its state from a solid to a liquid. Now, so that's the Nolad issue. The other issue, as I said, that parenthetically comes up here, but worth noting, is the issue of Asicha Kishtia. So, as we saw, the Mordechai wonders, maybe it should be usher to use this Chelev soap because of Sicha Kishtia. For example, the Mishnah on Shabbos, Pei Vav Amud Aleph, says, Minayin l'sicha shi kishtia b'yom ha-kipurim, afal pishen raya l'davar, zeicher l'davar, shenemar, v'tavo kamayim b'kirbo u'kishemen b'atzmosav. And likewise, Nida Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, it's talking about the iser of a tamei to be sach b'shemen shel truma, and we bring a brisa that quotes it from one of two psukim, either the pasuk in Vayikra, the lo yichalalu Hashem es kodshei bnei Yisrael sheyarimu l'Hashem, we just read that in Parshas Amor, which teaches me that sicha is kishtia, or alternatively, ibais ema mehacha v'atavo kamayim b'kirbo, v'shemen batzmosav, the same pasuk that the Gemara in Shabbos quotes concerning Yom Kippur. There's a discussion over there. Why is it that if we have a pasuk from Chumash that we quote a pasuk from Tillim? Either way, there are these two places in Shas where the principle of Sicha Kishti appears with these Mekoros, and the Rishonim all argue whether or not this concept of Sicha Kishti is an Isser D'Rabbanan or an Isser D'Raisa, or it depends on the context. So Rabbeinu Tam, in a number of places, including Yom Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph, says it's only Nisr Drabbanan, even on Yom Kippur, even for Truma, it's only Nisr Drabbanan. And that's why on Yom Kippur, it's mutter if you're dirty. Let's say you have a tit vitsoa and you need to do sicha to get it off. That's okay. Like we saw the Mordechai quote for someone who has chatatin berosho, because they were matir b'makom tzar in Yom Kippur, which indicates that it's not really an iser d'oraisa. And likewise, l'gabe truma, he shows from the Gemara in Krisos, Dazayin Amud Aleph, that kohen shesach shemen shel truma, mutter leven bito Yisrael les agelbo, veino choshesh. And if the iser was d'oraisa, we would not have said that. According to Rabbeinu Tam, the idea of sicha kishti is only in asmachta midrabanan, and it only goes there in certain places, namely on Yom Kippur, on truma, and maybe Yisrei Hana. So according to Rabbeinu Tam, if you want to use soap during the week made out of chelev, there's no problem at all. You don't need kosher soap for your body. Now, the Rambam in Hilchos Trumos Perek Yud Halacha Beis sounds like it's mid'oraisa by truma, that because he equates achila, right? Echad ha'ochal davar shadarko lachal, v'echad ha'shos davar shadarko lishtos, v'echad ha'sach davar shadarko lasuch, shenema v'li yichalalu eskot shebine Yisrael, v'rabos esasach, kishkaga misham kem b'chomish. The Rambam, generally speaking, the Rambam doesn't have asmachtas, but certainly over here, the fact that he equates drinking and eating and sicha, so that sounds like they're all d'oraisa. And the Rikorkos over there on that Rambam makes this point. The Rambam clearly holds it's a din d'oraisa, it's not an asmachta. Now, that's with respect to truma. Does he also hold Yom Kippur as an issur d'oraisa? That's unclear. It's a machlokas achronim b'dasa Rambam, what he would hold for Yom Kippur. But probably, if you learn like the Rambam, you would not be able to use non-kosher soap, let's say soap for your body that's made out of chelev. Now this Mordechai seems to have a middle view in between Rabbeinu Tam and let's say the Rambam. It's not entirely clear, but he seems to agree with Rabbeinu Tam that the whole idea is an asmachta, there's no iser d'orais at all, but he does seem to say that there is an iser d'rabanan, which they applied with respect to using it for tainug, but lo gazru b'makom tzar. And therefore, you'd be allowed to use it b'makom tzar, but not for tainug. So presumably, if you ask the Mordechai, let's say you're going to the store, Aaron, we know, uses bar soap and he sees two brands, you know, ivory made out of 100% pure chaylev, and then, you know, the Dove brand is made out of petroleum and no chaylev in it. So the Mordechai would tell you that you should buy the Dove brand and not the ivory brand. Make sure to use, unless you have tsar, you should use kosher soap. Rabbeinu Tam would say, yeah, you could use whichever soap you want. The Rambam might even say that using the chaylev dikka soap is even aser midaraisa, though not clear. How do we paskin? So the Rama over here, Shin Chavav Zif Yud, quotes that it's aser on Shabbos to use your hands with chaylev shenimuach because of nolad. So the Gra over here, Dibor Maschil O, is medayik from this Rama, that you see, he holds like Rabbeinu Tam, that during the week it's okay. And there's no concern with Sicha Kishtia. You're allowed to buy the non-kosher soap to wash your body. The Bir Halacha, though, the Gra, though, says, but even though that's the view of Rabbeinu Tam and the Rama seems to accept it, the Mordechai writes that the Gra writes that the Shar Poskim Chalko Alav. The Mordechai, as well as Shar Poskim, disagree. In other words, why is the Rama being so makel? The Bir Halacha, though, notes that even though the Gra sounds like you should be machmir, at least shelo b'makom tzar, the minhag ha'olam is to use soap made from chaylev. And rak is a medaktikim zehirim b'zeh. Only very, very firm people are machmir to use a kosher soap, but not most people. And he says, you look, if you get kosher soap, you should. Nachon lachosh ladasa machmirim b'zeh. But if you don't have kosher soap easily available, then it's okay to be makel. The Aruch HaShulchan writes that he also notes that the velt is makel, and he says maybe anyway it's there's more room to be makel because he says our soaps, even when they're made with chaylev, they have other ingredients in it that are pogemit. So it's not like 100% pure chaylev, therefore it might be okay anyway. Lamaisa, I don't think this is really relevant anymore. I don't, as far as I know, bar soaps are, you know, they're not made with chaylev any longer, neither ivory nor dove, or any, you know, it's hard for me to imagine, though I can't say I've checked, hard for me to imagine that any of the commercially available bar soaps have a kashrus issue anymore. But that's an interesting point that emerges actually is discussed on our siman in the Shulchan Aruch. But now let's turn back to our main point, which is there a concern for Memareach here? So, as we noted, the Mordechai implies that there is no concern with Memareach using this chelev, and the question we have to wonder about is why not? In other words, we know that Rav Asard, oil that is thicker oil, and not only that, but I think we saw last time, we'll see it again now, the Ravan says that chelev and shoman is actually shayach to the deoraisa type of memareach. And therefore, why is it that the Mordechai isn't concerned with memareach, right? Just the lashon of the Ravan, it's simen shin pei, of the klishu nakov, lo yitein alav shav, lasos mo b'shabes, velo chelev, velo shoman. So maybe you'll say, okay, maybe there's a machlokas between the Ravan and the Mordechai about chaylev. Maybe the Mordechai thinks that chaylev isn't shaykh to memareach. It's only concerned of nolad. Right. And again, I don't think the Mordechai is talking, the Mordechai, when he's matir, is clearly not talking about liquid soap or the equivalent, because then there would be no issue of nolad, presumably. So he's talking about some type of solid-y soap. So then why is he matir? So the pashtus is, it's not a shayl at all. Because the Mordechai is not talking about an issue of closing a barrel. If you were to take this chaylev and use it to close up your barrel, then there would be a problem of memareach. The Mordechai is talking about sicha, or I don't know, again, I imagine he's talking about something like soap or the like, where there's no concern with memareach, and the only concern is that it melts and it's a shaila of nolad. Whereas the Ravan, when he said chaylev is a big problem, the Ravan is talking about where you're using this chaylev to seal a barrel, seal the hole of a barrel. So then that's where the Gemara says there's a concern of memareach. So there need not be a machlokas here. Nevertheless, so therefore, when we're talking about soap, so far from what we saw in the Ravan and the Mordechai and the like, there's no evidence that there's any issue of memareach at all when we're dealing with soap. Nevertheless, the Tiferes Yisrael, this is in the Kalkelas HaShabbos, which I sent you, I think, and it's cited in the Mishnah Bura. Simen Shin Chavav Sifkatan Lamed, the Tiferes Yisrael, the commentary in the Mishnah, he says that there is a problem with using soap in terms of Mimareach. It's like Shava, and therefore maybe even an Isser de Oraisa. I'll just read you the Lashon of the Mishnah Berurah when he quotes it. Vayan b'sefer tiferes Yisrael shekasav de biboris shalanu shehiraka l'kulei alma asher mishem mimachek. In other words, even if we're going to be makel in terms of mimachek for the hard soap that the Mordechai was talking about, but softer soap is asher alts mimachek. Ukein mad isa le'enyan shava b'simenchin yodalet ayin sham. V'chein matzasi b'sefer divrei menachem b'shem ha'maiser okeach dehu memareach o memachek v'u'av melacha u'psik reisha v'chulai v'u'pashat v'yesh lehazhir ha'am al zeh me'od ad kan l'shono. Levad calls that, the Mishnah Berurah continues, Mashma Berashi, Deboris, Meshir Aser. There's a different issue that soap removes hair from the skin. Again, I'm not sure if that's relevant for our soap. That was something that was more abrasive, I think. But anyway, V'chein Kasaran, V'chein Hu Minag, Kol Yisrael Hachmir Pzeh. So we're going to return to that point in a moment. The Mishnah Berurah concludes the Minag is to be Machmir. In terms of soap, and what role Minog plays over here. So the question is, what in the world is he talking about? In other words, where is there memachek with soft soap? So if it's talking about a bar of soap, again, our bars of soap get a little smaller with each use. There doesn't seem to be any memachek. So Rabbi Ribiat on page 915 writes that the soft soap he is referring to was a soft, pliable consistency that changes shape during use. It's not hard soap like our bars of soap today. The olden day soaps, I think, were more soft like wax. I guess it's sort of like a bar of soap that when you leave it sitting in a bathtub for too long, so it turns into a sort of a glob, which is similar to wax in the sense that it could be shaped. And moreover, Rabbi Ribiat said that their soaps had rough surfaces that would become smooth with each use. So that's the concern of Mimareach, which case, basically what he's saying is that our typical hard soaps, you know, like the bar of ivory soap, would not be an issue because A, it's already smooth, and B, it's already shaped, it's hard. So there would be no issue with Mimareach. Rav Avadia, in that Shuv I sent to you, Chelek Dalet, if Yabia Omer, Simen Chav Zayin, and Chav Ches, also argues that there should really not be much of an issue with our soaps. And in terms of the other issue, maybe you'll say it's Mimareach because you've left a smooth layer of soap on your hand. In other words, we're not concerned with the bar of soap that there's no Mimareach over there, but rather you've made a smooth layer of soap that's left on your hand, which could be true even for the soft soap. Rav Avadia says, nah, that is not Kayim at all. You wash it right off. and therefore there's no problem with mimareach. Now, he actually says that if it's hard soap, it's more of an issue if it's becoming smooth. But again, I think that's not an issue for our soaps that are basically, except for Aaron's theory, are already smooth from the get-go. So therefore, basically what comes out is that the only concern with soap that's left, Rav Adya says, is molid. And Ashkenazim, he says, if they want to be machmir about that, they may. But we, Sfardim, aren't choshish for that, as we already discussed when the Rama discusses the issue of the pashtida with the melted shuman and the like. So Rav Adya doesn't think it's an issue, though again, conceivably, if there's an OLED issue, it would be usher for Ashkenazim. Rabbi Ribiat also, in note 20, doesn't really think that there's any basis to prohibit contemporary bar soaps. Again, he says practically you shouldn't do it. As we saw already, the Mishnah Berurah says the minhag is to be machmir. But fundamentally, there doesn't seem to be an issue. Again, and when it comes to liquid or soft soaps, liquid soaps, so it doesn't seem to be an issue, and there it shouldn't even be an issue of nolad. But there are a number of poskim that are machmir in this. Among them, Rav Moshe, Or Chaim Chelek Aleph Simen Kuf Yud Gimel writes that it's aser. We'll read what he says in a moment. Though I saw that the Shnei Shavas Kilchasa says that this is Perek Mem Sif Yud Aleph, that even though we don't do it because the minhag is to be machmir, like we said, if there was a real need, like a doctor who needs to wash his hands before treating a patient or the like, then there's makom to be makel, because really it should be mutter. In fact, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa quotes Shlomo Zalman Orbach that this is like Dvarim Hamutarim Shenagu Bahem Isser. Now, he's saying, look, like the Mishnah Berurah says, Nagu Lahachmir. So even though there's no reason for it. Now, this is a very interesting idea, and I think we should talk about it at some point. Now is not the time to get into it too much. But I didn't really understand this idea. And the poskim say this, and at least some poskim say it in a number of places. The Chazon Ish said it about umbrellas. There's a famous tshuva, I think, of the Noda Behuda, who says umbrellas are possibly aser and maybe even aser midaraisa. He's talking about a parasol, not exactly our modern umbrellas. Chazon Ish thinks that umbrellas are okay, because it's like a kisei traskel. We'll get there, Bezos Hashem. But he says you shouldn't use them on Shabbos. Dvarma mutarm shenagu b'amisser. And Shlomo Zalman, in his famous tshuva about electricity, at one point sort of throws up his hand and says, well, if we can't think of any other reason to aser electricity, we'll just say it's dvarm hamutarm shenagu b'amisser. It's aser al tzat. And here, Shlomo Zalman saying that about bar soap on Shabbos. Or about whatever, not bar soap, about whatever this type of hard, soft soap. Now, the problem is that, and again, we're not going to get into it now, but the problem is that l'chora, the principle of dvarim hamutarim shenagu bahem iser, is only stated when people were nagu iser, thinking that it was mutter, as opposed to if they were nagu bahem iser because they misunderstood the halacha and thought it was aser medina. For example, if you look at the tour in Yoredei, Simin Reish Yudalit, it says, Dvarim mutarim v'acherim hayodim shem mutarim, noagim b'hem iser. Then it's havek ilu kiblam aleim b'neder, v'aser latiram lahem. This is a sugya in Nedarim, among other places, on Tesvav. It's a sugya in Psachim, on Daf Nunam Abeis. Tosus and the Rishonim over there in Psachim deal with the issue. But it's not so clear that we should apply this principle of in a case like this. The reason why people were machmir for bar soap is because they thought that the Pharisee Yisrael was right and it's aser, I think. So anyway, it's an interesting ha'ara. But going back to the halacha, so when it comes to hard soap, lemaisa, where machmir, you should not use hard soap on Shabbos, at least under normal circumstances. Okay, maybe in a shas adchak, like Shlomo Zalman points, like the Shmir Shabbos points out, you could be makel. But under normal circumstances, at least Ashkenazim should not use hard soap at all on Shabbos. What about liquid soap? So liquid soap solves the problem of molid because it starts off as a liquid. That's what one would imagine. Starts off as liquid, it ends off as liquid. And Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa makes this point, Perek Yudalet Ha'aremem Tess. L'chayra, there shouldn't be an issue of memareach because it's too thin. Now, this gets in, and this is the view of a number of poskim, among them Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa over there, Sifta Zion. Now, it might get back to the issue that we sort of raised yesterday, which is what exactly is meant in the Gemara when it restricts Shemen Av. That's an Issur Drabanan. What does Shemen Av mean? If Shemen Av means congealed oil, which is the way I think I translated it last time, so then congealed oil would presumably not refer to, would not include something like liquid soap. Liquid soap, even though it's a pretty viscous, but it's not congealed. If, however, you say that, no, it's not referring to oil that, not just referring to oil that's congealed, but even oil that's thick, very thick oil, though it's not congealed, so then you could argue that it would be usser, by liquid soap, right? Because liquid soap, depends on your brand, but liquid soap is pretty viscous. It's pretty thick, and therefore, if you think that the Gemara is referring to not just congealed oil, but thick oil, then conceivably you could say sasa drabat. No, it has to be thick enough, I think, that it could conceivably plug up a hole in a barrel. In other words, if something is a real liquid, or even like we say, regular oil, if you took some olive oil and you tried to plug up a hole in a barrel, it wouldn't work. It's much too liquidy. I would also have thought, and this is again what Shlomo Zalman assumes, that this is true for liquid hand soap. If you had a hole in a barrel, and you try to use liquid hand soap to plug up the hole, so it wouldn't work. The hand soap would simply drip into the barrel. I guess, obviously, it depends on how small the hole is. Maybe if you had a really, really small hole, it would work. But it's very hard to imagine you could in any way effectively close up a hole of a barrel with something like liquid hand soap. And therefore, the pashtus is that there should be no issue with mimareach here because it's too thin. It's more like oil. And as we talked about last time, when we're dealing with regular oil, not shemen av, but regular oil, there is no issue whatsoever with respect to mimareach. Nevertheless, Rav Moshe, Chelek Aleph, Simen Kuf Yud Gimel, seems to be concerned. He writes like this, Uvedavar lehisrachetz, and I'm reading you the Lashon, among other things, because it's very unclear what he means. V'davar lehisrachetz imboris b'shabes v'yantif hine pashut she'asar misham emachek v'af b'boris shehulach kemayim, even if we're talking about liquid soap, and not just any liquid soap that's lach kemayim, af shahar be'noagim lahatir, en borer li kol kach ha'heter, Mikavan shenasa miza hamulines umispashet harbe yoser mikafi mashahu alida rechitza bimke nicker shadan yesh bezek tsas memachek lo kishadvarm lachim kemayim vishemen. So he's not sure. Lamaisi concludes, I don't do it because it's not obvious to me that it's mutter. V'chein ro'i l'hachmir. He doesn't say it's aser, but he says it's ro'i l'hachmir. So I saw that Rabbi Ribiat writes that nobody understood what Rav Moshe was talking about. It seems to me that his concern is the lather that's produced from the liquid soap that isn't quite a liquid. That's what he means, it's misrachev harbe. In other words, you go ahead, you put a little liquid soap on your hands. So now, even though it starts off as a liquid, it's even kemayim, but then you start, you know, you watch the those videos on how to properly hand wash, and you counted ABC twice, and now what do you have? You have this rich foam. Well, that foam is no longer a liquid anymore. It's not quite a solid either, but it's somewhat viscous. It has a shape. It doesn't just pour like a liquid. And then when you take that that bubbly lather and you spread it out all over your hands, so then that could be seen as memareach. That's what I think he's saying. In other words, this is like viscous oil. It's like shemen av. And especially if you say shemen av isn't limited to congealed oil, but it's like something that's thicker. So Rav Moshe is sort of saying, well, it's hard to know exactly where to draw the line. Liquid is okay. Shemen av is usser. Is this closer to shemen av, the lather, or is it closer to liquid? Not so clear. Not so clear. And therefore he says, roi lahachmir. Because it's the bubbles, the lather, that's what I think Rav Moshe is referring to. Now I saw that Rav Simcha Bonim Kohn, it's on the Shabbos home, page 381, Hara 19, says, well, even according to Rav Moshe, it should be mutter if you add some liquid to this soap. And that's what many people do. Many people will sort of dilute their hand soap before Shabbos. Now, I'm not entirely sure if you hold like the machm, if you're machmir for Moshe, why it's so obvious that helps. Because if the concern is the lather, then there should still be a problem. If the concern was like smoothing the soap itself on your hand, then maybe you could say that solves the problem because now it's surely a liquid. But if the concern is that it creates a lather, unless you've diluted it so much that it doesn't even create a lather, I assume that's what the theory behind those that are mako. The pashtus is,
I mean, didn't Rav Moshe also say that it's as, you know, that it's like mayim?
Yes, so that's like, why I didn't understand it. He sounded exactly correct. He started off at the beginning, even though it's liquid like water. I don't know. I guess those who say to do this are saying he meant it pours like water. It's a sort of a, not literally as liquidy as water. I'm not sure. Lamaisa, you could certainly be makel to do that because, as I said, most poskim don't understand. Rav Moshe himself was unsure. Many poskim don't really understand Rav Moshe. And I think most poskim aren't machmir, even like Rav Moshe, meaning to say they're makel for all liquid soap because it's not at all clear what type of, where there should be an iser of memareach over here at all. And certainly I think there's room to be makel for something like a Purell, which is also very, very liquidy. I assume even if you hold like Rav Moshe, again, at least if you hold like Rav Simcha, because Purell doesn't make that lather. It doesn't become bubbly. It stays as like a liquid. No, well, oh, Purell gets absorbed, right. Yeah. I think so. I don't know. Does Purell get absorbed or just get spread thin and then evaporate? I mean,
the point is that you don't have to use it
doesn't remain. Maybe. Why? Yeah. Why? I hear that. I hear what you're saying. Yeah. In a Hanami. So as I said, I think the Velt, many people are make on liquid soaps entirely, like Rishon LeZalman. And again, a lot of it relates to the point that that Rabbi Ribby had already pointed out, which is it's very hard to understand exactly what Rav Moshe meant. The next shaila that comes up is teeth brushing with toothpaste. And once again, Rav Moshe has a concern about mimareach, which is very hard to understand. First of all, it probably is, again, l'shitaso, that he doesn't hold to that vart that Rav Avadia points out with liquid soap. Avadia says, even if there is memareach for the soap, because you smooth it over your hands, you're about to wash it off. It's there for just a couple of seconds. And he didn't think that such a short-term memareach is an issue. And the same thing would be for the toothpaste. With Moshe, though, even though we saw he in certain malachos he was willing to be makel because something is very short-lived. We saw his theory on certain powder makeup where he's makel. Here he does not accept that, and therefore he's concerned with mimareach for soap, and he's also concerned with mimareach for toothpaste. So what exactly is Rav Moshe worried about? I'm not sure. I assume it's like this. Toothpaste has an abrasive in it to get off the plaque. And the idea is that when you the brush rubs up against the abrasive, it removes the plaque. Now, it doesn't last very long, but I suppose there's a thin layer of toothpaste that the brush spreads around and then rubs in. And maybe that's why he thinks that it's mimareach. The reason why it's hard to say that, in a sense, this is even harder to understand, I think, than the soap, is because it's not nicker at all. I don't know. You guys, tonight, when you brush your teeth, experiment. So when I brushed my teeth, like I stopped, I used the toothbrush to spread around the toothpaste, and then I stopped and I like examined it. There were like bubbles between my teeth, but I could not feel, at least with my hands. Now, I'm not denying that there's nothing there, but I couldn't see or feel like a thin layer of toothpaste that had been spread on my teeth. Now, there's a story that Rav Shechter brings in Nefesh HaRav that when they told the Rav about Rav Moshe's position on toothbrushing, he didn't think it made any sense. He said you don't care about the smoothing of the toothpaste, the mimareach of the toothpaste on your teeth. And I think he thought that he meant like you smooth out your teeth, like you take off a layer. He said that's also certainly you don't have to worry about that. In Rav Avadia's Tshuva, which again you have, I sent it to you. So he says, well, the dentists say that there is a thin layer of toothpaste that remains on your teeth. In other words, if it were true, then that would be an issue. Imagine that you took your toothpaste and you didn't just like, you know, it didn't, the toothpaste actually remained on your teeth, a thin layer of toothpaste that remained on your teeth and was like a protective seal or something. So he says, well, you know, if that were true, then you could hear that it's a problem. But he says, hakol sheker, there's no thin layer of toothpaste that remains on your teeth after you've brushed your teeth. And he says, because like, just look at your teeth. There's nothing that seems to remain on your teeth afterwards. So therefore he thinks that really shouldn't be an issue either. And he brings a raya lahakel from the Magen Avraham. The Tzitz Eliezer doesn't like that raya. I sent you the tshuva of the Tzitz Eliezer as well. Lemaisa, there is a machlokas haposkim about whether there's an issue of mimareach for toothpaste. A number of poskim, like Rav Moshe or Machmir. We also discussed other halachos that come up in toothpaste earlier in the year. Toothbrushing. We discussed the issue of schita, and specifically schita b'seyar. We mentioned that that if the issue is mimareach, you could solve the issue by using liquid toothpaste like they have in Eretz Yisrael, or a mouthwash or the like. That would be a good etza to avoid the concern with Rav Moshe. In other words, one way to brush your teeth on Shabbos would be to, let's say, fill your mouth with mouthwash and then brush your teeth like that. There would certainly be no mimareach issue. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa concludes, L'hachmir no'agim shelo letzach teichas ha'shinayim v'afilu below mishcha. Or Letzion is makel if there's no toothpaste. His conclusion is Ein l'shtamish b'mishchat shinayim b'shabbos, aval moter l'tzach tzecha shinayim b'mavreshes o nozel l'tzichtzuch shinayim. As long as you don't, there's no psik resha for bleeding of the gums. But he is concerned, like Rav Moshe from Mimareach, if you use actual toothpaste. We talked about last time we saw the tshuva of the Sridei Eish, who is Makel, and Rosh Hashanah Zalman, in his response to that, to a large degree, accepts his points. But Lamaisa, the Velt is Machmir, and we don't use a toothpaste on Shabbos.
Play-Doh. Does that mean that we can't see the toothpaste on your teeth? Even though, like, I mean, there might be some toothpaste, but you can't
actually
see it. That's
the point. If you can't see it, you can't detect it. It's not nerelei na'im. It's hard to imagine that that should be us. Take a look. One other issue, Play-Doh. I saw the Shabbos home says that Play-Doh should be aser because of Mimareach. Also, the Orchu Shabbos is Machmir. I think I heard that some are Mekel because of Arai De'Arai. I'm not sure. That seems like a Chiddush to me. All right. I will stop over here. Everybody should have a good Yantif. And Be'ezras Hashem, we will pick up after Yantif with the next Malacha. And Be'ezras Hashem, Linader, I will send you Mar Makomos later today. Okay. Have a good day and a good Yom Tov.